You know, come on, we are the army of God. Come on, we're the body of Christ. Come on, we're the soldiers of the Lord. Do we feel like soldiers? You know, the more I've been at this, you know, I'm just 17 and a little bit of an older body, but the longer I've been at this, you know, the more I realize that, you know, we kind of have to have an attitude.
Amen.
You know, really, really, Christianity is not a weak man's gospel. Come on, this is a strong kingdom. And when we get put in the kingdom, we have to take on the attributes of Jesus. We have to take on, come on, the attitude of the army. Have you ever been around soldiers? I'm talking about real soldiers. They have an attitude. I mean, even when they're on rest, they have an attitude. And the attitude is, I'm a soldier, and don't nobody mess with me. Isn't that the truth? You know, I mean, when I'm in my uniform, when I'm at my post, you know, I've got an assignment. Don't anybody mess with me. Don't anybody, you know, get out of order and cross over the line. Recently, it was a while back, but several months ago, I don't know if y'all, any of you saw it, but there was a show that came out about Winston Churchill. And it was a story that was supposedly based on pretty much of a true character of him during World War II. And so Pastor Chaz and I went and saw that movie. And it was very interesting to me because, of course, you know, now we're seeing a movie that we all know what happened in World War II. We know what a crazy man Hitler was. We know how demonized he was. We know the end of what he set out to do and how much havoc he wreaked across the world. So, you know, when I see movies lots of times, always something spiritual jumps out at me. That's the way you can feel good about seeing a movie, is realize that there's spiritual truths. They don't probably mean to, but there's spiritual truths, you know, based in these things. And I sat and watched that movie, and I was just amazed that this spiritual truth kept jumping out at me, that as the war was coming up and as Hitler was beginning all of his shenanigans and all of his stuff, all of his, you know, marching into different countries, the English government, those that were the leaders, they didn't want to fight. They did not want to fight. They did not have the attitude that you have to have as a country to protect your country, which is that of a soldier, which is that is, I'm going to stand up and make sure to defend what's right and defend what I know needs to take place. They didn't want to do that. They had this wild idea that if they just kind of ignored it, it would go away. All throughout the show, I mean, they just kept on. They kept thinking, we can reason with him. I mean, the leaders would get in this room, you know, and Winston Churchill was the only one. He knew that the enemy was not going to be stopped until he was forced to be stopped. And so they would get in there and they would say, let's reason with him. I think we're going to be able to come up with a peace plan. I think it just went on. And he just kept saying, we're going to have to fight until victory. Fight until victory was his word. Fight until victory. And I recognized in him, he had the spirit of recognizing that he was willing to stand up and do whatever was necessary, even at the cost. Even at the cost of lives. Even at a great cost to his country, he understood that it wasn't just going to go away. And this is really where we live daily in this fight that we have in the earth, you know, the fight of faith. We have to fight until victory. Amen. We can't lay down. We can't think it's going to go away. We can't think it's going to get better. Listen, that's not how it works. The way that the enemy is stopped is that you have to put a stop to him. With your faith, with your authority, with the power that God's given you, we have to rise up in this day and be reminded that we are the army of the Lord. We're the soldiers of Christ. And it's not time to just lay back and do nothing. You know, one thing I learned when I got spirit-filled and began getting in the kingdom, one thing that became very apparent to me early on was the quicker that I dealt with something that I knew wasn't right, number one, the better success rate I had. But number two, the battle seemed to be not quite as intense and usually not as long, especially with sickness. You know, you remember in the early days when you really believed the Bible, when you really believed God, that you could use the name of Jesus and make pain go or make your body. Do you remember those days? Yeah, that's, you know, those are really still the days that we're to be living in today. Right. But you remember when you first got a hold of that all authority is in the name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, the devil must flee. I mean, pain must go. I mean, body must line up. Y'all remember that, right? I mean, when we got a revelation of that, we were like, wow. And I mean, the minute something would come, we would be like, uh-uh, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I remember one time in my very early days, I was at work, and I don't remember what it was, but I felt a little something, and I thought, I'm going to take care of this in the name of Jesus. And I went into the restroom, the women's restroom, and I closed the stall, and I was standing in there, you know, like this, in my warrior stance. And I was just getting after it with the name, and it left. It left. And that's how it is today. I mean, we still have to have that same, I mean, rise up, stand up. I mean, I'm going to fight until I get the victory. Amen. And the quicker we resist, the quicker just seems like we have a little more success. Seems like it goes more quickly. It's kind of like I guess that would be like, you know, if you plant a root down. And if it's a weed and it's not supposed to be there and you see it like on day two and it's like this, you just go poop and it just pops right out, right? Amen. But you know, if you leave that weed and that weed stays and that weed grows and it goes down and deeper and then it spreads and then it gets stronger and then you're out there and you know, you're looking at it and it's looking bigger and it's looking uglier and you're thinking, wow, I wish somebody had to work my yard because I don't want to get my nails dirty. Come on, I don't want to mess things up. Oh, it's hot in the summer. Surely somebody can do this for me. And it just stays there and stays there. And then one day you're like, that's it. And you're out there and you're literally like yanking and yank. Have you ever had that? I mean, I've had those things where I just couldn't get it out. And my first thought was, man, I wish I'd have dealt with this a lot sooner. Now, we know that the power and the authority that's in the name of Jesus will work always at all times. So if you've missed it, it's time to go ahead and stand back up. You can still win. But I'm just wanting you to acknowledge that these are fighting days. Yes. We have to fight the fight of faith, and we have to declare, as Winston Churchill did, fight until victory. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad that he had an attitude of fighting until victory? Because he pretty much was instrumental in helping save the world at that point. Hallelujah. So we're thankful that we have some things in Christ. Amen. We're thankful that we have the name of Jesus. Aren't we thankful? We're thankful that we have the Word of God, which has the highest, the ultimate say-so. God's Word gets the ultimate say-so. We're thankful. Come on, that we have the Holy Spirit. Amen. Working in the earth in our behalf. Glory to God. But we got to fight. And so I just wanted to remind you that we're fighters. We're fighters at Houston Faith Church. Because the only way you lose is if you don't fight. That's the only way you lose is if you don't fight. And then we're fighters together. You know, so sometimes we have to be reminded of who we are. You know, you can't look at yourself in the mirror and just look at your old natural self. You need to look at yourself in the mirror and think soldier. Come on, you need to think mighty, strong. You need to think of who you are in Christ, and we need to be reminded of that. I'm gonna get on a movie streak here, it seems. Back when the first Incredibles came out, I don't know if y'all will remember this, but I watched this often. It's just, you know, it's just one of those little clips to remind myself, and it's called Edna's Pep Talk. Have y'all ever heard of that? And the scene is this. The scene is, it doesn't matter about what it's about, but the scene is that, you know, one of the incredible ladies, she's sitting in the boardroom and she's crying and she's got her tissues and she's like, I don't know what happened. And, you know, I let this, and, you know, she's carrying on, and Edna's sitting there, you know, with her rolled up magazines right there, and she's shoofing away the Kleenex as she's, and all of a sudden she says, "I don't know what I'm gonna do," you know. And Edna jumps up on the table and she said, "What do you mean? What are you gonna do? Is this a question? Remember, you're Elastigirl." Yeah, and then she takes the paper and she's like, "Boom, boom, 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 boom. Remember who you are."
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Then she says, I think she said something like, "Confront them, stand up, fight, and win." And she's like this on the table. You need to get that and repeatedly play that to yourself. Because you might not be Elastigirl. I mean, who cares about Elastigirl? But we are super, super saint, super woman, superman, Wonder Woman, whatever it is you want to. But seriously, we have to have that attitude. If we don't have that attitude, we're going to trudge through life like a defeated army. And I don't believe that that's how God
Amen.
Is. Come on, we have to remember that we have the Lord Jesus as the commander of our army. We have to remember that we have the whole heavenly host of angels at our disposal to whip whatever comes our way. I mean, these are strong, awesome creatures. And the Bible says that they move about, they hark and they listen and they heed to the voice of the Lord. So when the things of God, when the commands of God, when the words of God come out of your heart and out of your mouth, the angels are like, "Oh yeah, yeah, yeah." And they're taking up sword and it's like, "Shkoop." And then we have each other.
Amen.
We have each other. We're not just like, so we need to remember we are not weak. Church, we are not weak.
Amen.
We are not the feeble ones.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And we really need to start every day like that. We need to start every day out in the reality of who Christ is and who He is in me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Tonight we're going to open up the Word to Psalm 23. Praise the Lord. It just felt like a good night to remind you of a few things of who the Lord is, of who the Lord is to us. You know, Psalm 23 was written by King David. It's really a trilogy of Psalm 22, 23, and 24 are kind of viewed as a trilogy that are written. You know, Psalm 23 is a prophecy of Jesus' death. It tells what's going to happen to the Lord. It's a message about the Messiah. It upholds Jesus as the Messiah. Then Psalm 23 is the prophecy of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Then Psalm 24 is really a prophecy of the return of Christ when He comes back to the earth as the King of glory. Hallelujah. And so these Psalms, in the dispensation that we're at right now, these Psalms represent past, present, and future. Psalm 22 is about a past event, Jesus dying on the cross. Although we're living in the reality of the finished work of that, it is a past historical event that Jesus died. Then Psalm 23 is what represents now where we are now. Psalm 23 is where we are currently living. And so that's why we're going to talk about Psalm 23, where we live with the Good Shepherd. And then Psalm 24 is in the future telling us what's to come. That the return of Jesus, He is to come back and get us, and that we're going to reign in the earth with the King of glory. Hallelujah. Isn't that going to be wonderful? We're still going to be part of the army. Come on. We're still going to be doing it at that point, but we're going to be doing it with the King of glory throughout the world. Hallelujah. These three Psalms represent really kind of the order in which God ministers to us. He ministers to us first as the Messiah. Until God can minister to us as the Messiah, Jesus coming, dying for the redemption of our lives so that we can be saved and our sins forgiven. There is nothing else. So he deals with us through Psalm 22. But then once we are saved, once we receive Jesus, we step into God's ministry to us through the Lord Jesus as our shepherd, as our good shepherd that we're going to talk about tonight. And then what is to come is how God will minister to us and through us in the millennial reign when we come back to the earth with the Lord Jesus and reign as kings and priests with the King of Glory. Hallelujah. So tonight we're going to talk about Psalm 23. Is that okay with y'all? It's Bible study night, right? It's time to get in the Bible. Praise the Lord. So are you in Psalm 23? All right, so I'm going to read the whole psalm to you, six verses here, and then we're going to break down and just talk about a few things. Just remind ourselves of a few things. You know, talking about remembering who we are, we have to remember who we are based in who God is to us. Amen? So Psalm 23, verse 1, starting there, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's good stuff. You know, the scriptures themselves, they're alive, they're living. They carry in these words the actual power. It's like a seed, and in that seed is the power to produce what it says. These aren't just like frivolous words. These are living words. They're powerful words. They're words that shape our life. And so when we receive them, we have to receive them as living. Even though they've been written thousands of years ago, they're still living today. So we need to understand that in the Old Testament, there were words that were used to describe God and the nature of God and who God was to us. Jehovah, first of all, Jehovah is the God of relationship. It's about God with us. Did you know that nobody but God's people, humans who were created in his image, were ever allowed to call him Jehovah? It means relationship with us. All of the created beings called him Elohim, God the creator. Okay? So first of all, we have to understand this whole thing, everything is about relationship with God. And in the Old Testament, there were many words, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Rapha, but there was also Jehovah Rohi, which means God the shepherd. In the Old Testament, it was proven out that the nature of God and his character in relationship to man was as a shepherd, as the caretaker, as a loving, kind, generous, heavenly Father. And so Jesus said that if we've seen him, we've seen the Father, right? Jesus came in the express image of God. That means he's like God. That means if God was a shepherd and God had the nature of a shepherd, and Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That means if we've seen the Father, we've seen Jesus. So that means Jesus naturally fulfilled the role of being a shepherd, a caretaker, a loving, kind, good one that wants to take care of us. And this is where we find ourselves in Psalm 23, in Jesus fulfilling the role of the good shepherd. So this passage in Psalm 23 is about us knowing Him, about us experiencing Him, about us living with Him in the relationship of Him as our shepherd, Him who supplies our needs, Him who is the nurturer, Him who is the keeper and the protector, Him who is our guide, Him who is the giver of life. And let us not ever forget that the good shepherd was always the one that was willing to lay down their life for the sheep. So Jesus stood in the ultimate role as a shepherd in that He gave His life for you and for I, so that we could have a relationship with Jehovah God, so that we could be children of God, and so that we could live in the abundant life that Jesus came to provide. Isn't that what the Bible says? That the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. But Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life, life more abundantly. Right? So this whole thing is about us in the earth being able to experience the abundant life that Jesus came as the shepherd who laid down His life for us. You know, we quote John 10:10 all the time. We all knew that, right? But did you know that it's John 10:11 said that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. So we have to live in constant reminder that the things that we're going after in this life, they're significant because Jesus gave up His life so that we could have them. Amen? Amen. I mean, it cost Him everything so that you could have health. It cost Him everything so that you could be wise. It cost Jesus everything so that you could be fully provided for, fully funded in life. It cost Jesus everything so that you could have the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. So we want it. Praise the Lord. Don't you want everything that God's got for us? Amen. So let's break down Psalm 23 and look at a couple of these scriptures here. The Lord, Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, so we see in John chapter 10, verse 11, I just said that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. So when He says, the Lord is my shepherd, He's the good shepherd. We need to make sure we know and we have it banked and we have anchored to the truth that Jesus is good. Jesus is only good. Jesus is always good. And He's good to you and He's good to me. Amen. We have to anchor our life to that. If we are not connected in truth that He is good, then we will be doubtful about what we can expect, about what we can have. Is Jesus going to come through for me? What might happen here? We always have to go back to the basic fundamental truth. The one character that is God is He is love and He is good. Amen. It never varies. It never varies. And it never varies toward me or you. It's not contingent upon you. It's not contingent. Whether He's good is not contingent upon you. He's only good and He's always good. For those that have received Him and He is now their Lord, He is good. Hallelujah. Psalm 34:8 says that we are to taste and see that He's good. That means that we're to experience His goodness. Not it just be a theory or a concept, but we are to actually see in the earth, in this life, that God is good. God wants to show you His goodness. Jesus wants to reveal more and more day by day that He's a good God. He's a good shepherd to you. Praise the Lord. Now notice it says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. Not just a shepherd. Not just the shepherd. But He's my shepherd. He's your shepherd. That means it's personal. That means that this whole thing about who He is and about what He's going to do and what He provides and how He cares for us is for you personally. It's about a personal relationship of who and what He is to me and you. Hallelujah. He's our caretaker. Okay? He is my shepherd. And it says here, I shall not want. He's my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? He provides everything that the sheep need. Did you know that all sheep do is show up and just be sheep? And the shepherd takes care of them. Now they have to go where He says go and do what He says do. But He provides everything. Jesus provides everything for us as His own. He tends to us. He cares for us. He nurtures us. He carries us. He provides for us. I love this scripture. Turn quickly. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. It says, He will feed His flock like a shepherd. So He feeds us. He will gather the lambs with His arm, and He will carry them in His bosom. That means we're close to Him. And He will gently lead those who are with young. God is about providing for us. Maybe I can say goodly. He is to provide for us goodly, to the best, completely, ultimately. It says that He meets every need in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Now, you know, we quote that scripture a lot because it's kind of written in the context of God providing financial needs and things about life. But really, it goes much broader than that. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, that He will supply all of our need. All of our need. He provides all of our needs, spirit, soul, and body. Anything that we have need of. Anything, not just money, not just provision. Anything that we have need of, God will provide. Psalm 37, 4 says, He'll give us the desires of our heart. How cool is that? Isn't that what a loving Savior would do? Is give us what we desire, give us what we want. I love about Jesus that the first miracle He did in the Bible, where He turned the water into wine, it was not a miracle where they were like down and out and desperate. You know, the caterer had messed up and the stuff that, you know, the punch that was to show up hadn't arrived, you know, and it was a catastrophe and all the guests were mad and all the people were embarrassed. That's not what happened. The Bible says that they had drunk well. Not drunk like tipsy, but they had enough to fill themselves. But they wanted more. And so Mary just turned to Jesus and said, we need wine. So the first miracle in the Bible that Jesus did was not based out of a bear down and out, gotta have it or I'm gonna die. It was simply a want. Hallelujah. He is the good shepherd of our life. And when Jesus walked the earth, He demonstrated that throughout. He fed the multitude. He turned the water into wine. He healed the sick. He delivered the oppressed and the demon possessed. He made a way and He showed the way. Jesus did it all when He walked the earth. He met every need. And this even applies to us spiritually. He provides what we need spiritually, so that we can grow up in Christ, so that we can fight the fight of faith. Listen, we're not doing this on our own. We're doing this in a system that God came up with where everything is fully supplied. Hallelujah. I mean, we've got what we need. We're not lacking anything at all. So because of that, we can say, I have no want, or I have no lack. Can we say that? Do you say that?
Yes.
We don't want for anything. We don't want for health. We don't want for wisdom. We don't want for strength. We don't want for anointing. We don't want for money, because we have it.
Amen.
Whether you've got it at your fingertips, whether you've got it working yet in your life, might be another situation, but it's already provided in fullness and it's there for you to have. And because of it, we can say, I shall not want. The Bible says in Psalm 84, 11, that He withholds no good thing from us. So if something's held up, listen, if something's held up, it's not God that's holding it up. You got to figure out what that hold up is all about. Is it that you just need to endure with a little patience? Come on, and it's going to come. Or is an enemy standing in front of you and an obstacle that you're going to have to speak to and get the mountain out of the way. Praise the Lord. But God's not holding things up. Hallelujah. That makes me happy. All right, let's go on. Psalm 23, verses 2 and 3 here. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherd here brings conversion into our life. The shepherd here brings restoration into our life. The shepherd here brings wholeness into our life. And he brings it through the word and the spirit. We remember that, right? Because he's a good God. So he doesn't bring it through sorrow and trials and tragedies. All right, those things are here in the earth because of the curse. They're here around us because we have an enemy. But God brings all of the wholeness and the restoration and the life to us through the word and the spirit of God. He is our leader in life, and he guides us into the goodness of life, into the fullness of life. God is the one, Jesus, he shows us the better way to live. As the shepherd, he shows us the better way. First of all, he leads us into green pastures. Well, as a sheep, the pasture represents where you feed. It's where you graze, and it's also where you stay and where you remain. So Jesus said that as a shepherd, he provides everything that we need for sustenance for life. And he didn't say that they're just pastures. He said they're green pastures. It means that he provides for us the choicest of life, the best of life. Come on, didn't some preacher write a book called something like that, The Best Life? Wasn't there a preacher in Houston that wrote some type of book called something like that? Yeah? So see, are you living below God's standards? Are you living below what the Good Shepherd has provided for you? These are things we have to go after. They don't just automatically come. They're apprehended by the fight of faith. They're apprehended by knowing what belongs to us and then going after what belongs to us until we get what belongs to us. Amen? Hallelujah. So he leads us into the best, and I love he says that we lie down. Not because we're lazy, but lying down means that we remain. He intended for us to live in the good life, in the best life, to stay there and to remain there. That's how God provides for us in that capacity, that it would not be a short-term thing, but it would be a lifestyle of living according to the goodness of his life. Hallelujah. Then it says he guides us into the still, deep waters of refreshing and rest. So just a couple weeks ago, I preached on getting a good spiritual drink. We know what water represents, right? Water is the source of life. Nothing lives without water. Jesus leads us into the still waters. There's a refreshing that comes from him that's available every day. There's a restful place of life that comes to us. He is the fountain of life. All life comes through him. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 58, 11. Don't turn there. Let me read it. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought. Why? Because he's the good shepherd. So you don't have to be thirsty. You don't have to be dry. You don't have to be parched. You don't have to be down and out. He said he will satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones so that you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters will not fail. There's something about us understanding who Jesus is as the good shepherd that we can get to the waters and drink. The waters, they're a refreshing place, and they're also a resting place. There's a resting place. Even as soldiers, there's a resting place in God. The Bible says that his yoke is easy, that his burden is light. So we must know that he is the one that brings rest to our soul, and he is the restorer of our soul. Spirit, soul, and body, we're made up of three parts. How many of you have figured out by now that we have to take care of all three? If you want to stay in the earth and have a good life, you're going to have to take care of spirit, soul, and body. Your soul is real. Your mind, your personality, your psyche, your emotions, all that stuff can get messed up can get damaged, can get disappointed. But Jesus said that He would restore our soul. He is the one who makes us whole. He can make our mind whole. He can make our emotions. Come on, ladies. Come on, ladies. Listen, as ladies, emotions are not an excuse for us, because Jesus is the restorer of our soul. We don't live out of our emotions. Our emotions don't get the best of us. We live from our spirit, and our soul is whole. We are put together by the Good Shepherd. So there's no reason in life to ever have your soul fragmented, messed up, disjointed, feeling like it's messed up. There's a way to run to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, and have your soul restored. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Isaiah 58:12 that He is the repairer of the breach. He is the restorer of the streets. We know that He is the lover of our soul, and He is the one. He loves our soul. Did you know that? He's the lover of our soul. He likes your personality. He might want it to be refined a little bit here and there, but He does love you. He made you like you are. He made you with your personality. He made you. He did. And He didn't make mistakes. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say that He leads us in the paths of righteousness. God leads us. Jesus is set in our life to be the leader of our life, so that we don't have to do it alone, so that we don't have to try to figure it out alone. He makes a way and He shows us the way. He's the Good Shepherd. The paths that He takes for us, they're paths that are right. They're paths that are straight. They're paths that are good. They're paths that if we will get on them and stay within them, that we will find ourselves not stumbling, not falling, not frailing outside, because there is a path that God has for you, and the Good Shepherd will lead you there, and He does it for His own name's sake. He does it for His own sake because of who He is, because of how much He loves you for His sake, and because, listen, you represent His life. You do represent, that everybody that you're in contact with, that everybody that knows you and sees you and talks to you and watches how you live, that you're a representation of a life lived with God. So Jesus wants you on the right path and the good path, so that you display the good life that He came to give you. Hallelujah. So this is always a reminder, because He leads us to not try to make your own path. As the shepherd knows the way. He can see things better. And it's His job to get you in the right place. All right, let's go on with verse 4. 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. So first, I want everybody to see here, and everybody look up at me. Everybody see here that at times, we all, everybody in this room, will walk through a valley. There are going to be valleys. Listen, a life with God never said that we're continually standing on the mountaintop. But you know what I've learned about a valley is it's just a place to pass through. And that God can still be God in the valley. And really, depending on how much we know about God being God in the valley is really dependent upon how fast we get through the valley and begin the upward climb back up to the top of the mountain. There is tops of the mountains that were created for us, tops of the mountains that we're supposed to stand on, but we're going to go through the valleys. And I love that God, because He is the shepherd, because He gave Jesus as the shepherd of our life, He tells us up front. See, well, this shouldn't catch us off guard. We go through a valley. It shouldn't be necessarily, oh my gosh, the Bible isn't true. You know, faith doesn't work. Something's messed up. It's just a valley. So just walk through it. Run through it. Get through it quickly. He tells us that there's going to be valleys with shadows of death all around. Now, I know I've said this before. I'm going to say it again, and hopefully all of you already know it. But you know, you always see this scripture used at funerals. And I mean, I'm okay if it's your favorite scripture. You know, you can use it at a funeral. But the valley of the shadow of death is not talking about physical death when you depart and leave the earth. It's not at all what it's talking about. What it's talking about is that as we go through life, there are going to be dark, evil things of death all around us all the time. We're going to walk through them. I mean, have you figured that out yet? That in places you go and people you deal with, that there's not everybody is on the God highway, that not everybody is walking in the light. Come on, that there's things that you come in confrontation with. That's what that means. So it means that we're all going to have some of that. But listen, God said that we do it with no fear. Isn't that what he said? He said here, because I have a shepherd, I can walk through these valleys where there's bad stuff, wrong stuff, evil stuff, ugly stuff all around me. But I have no fear. I have no fear. I have no fear. Come on, this is the life of the Christian that lives with the Lord as their shepherd. I have no fear. Nothing gets to mess with me. Nothing gets to touch me because I have a shepherd. Because it goes on to say, I have no fear, for he is with me. God is with us. The Lord is with us. The Spirit of the Lord is with us everywhere we go, through all of the dark, through the ugly, through the stuff that's around. He's right there in the midst of us. Come on, he's right there in the valley with us. And because of it, we've got nothing to worry about if we know him as the shepherd. Not if you're going through the valley by yourself. You know, when the sheep get out by themselves, you do know that sheep are called to flock together. I say this in the new member class all the time. If you've been through the new member class, you'll remember this. Sheep are called to what? To flock together. That's why God puts you in assembly. That's why he wants you to show up in an assembly. He wants you to bring your supply, and he wants you to be a supply for other people so that we all supply together, because the sheep that always gets picked off by the wolf is not necessarily the weakest sheep. It's not the sheep that's necessarily sick. It's the sheep that pulled off by himself and thought, I can do this on my own. Let me go down this trail on my own. Let me do this by myself. Christian that sits at home and thinks they can do this without a corporate assembly, it's a lie from the pit of hell.
Amen.
Because you got to have the shepherd and the sheep. There's a protection in the flock. Amen. So though we walk through it, God is with us. Psalm 118:6 says, the Lord is on our side. I will not fear. Hallelujah. Come on, the Lord is on our side. The Lord of glory is on my side. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David was bold enough to declare it. He was bold enough to declare that though I walk through the valley, I'm not going to fear. You need to have that as part of your regular declaration in your life. That no matter what comes in front of me today, I will not fear. I will not worry. I will not doubt. Amen. Amen. There's a protection from the Lord our shepherd. I'm going to read Psalm 91. Because I love Psalm 91. Hallelujah. Turn with me. Let's just put our eyes on it together. Amen. It starts off by saying, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is talking about the protection of the shepherd. Jesus, our shepherd, walking with us, staying with us, guarding us, keeping us. There's like a protection over us. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. I love this. God is my defender. Come on, God is our deliverer. My God, in him I will trust. Come on, in him we trust. Come on, not in our bank accounts, not in our job, not in our spouses. Come on, in him we trust. Not in the preachers. Verse 3, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. And he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. Come on, haven't there been days for you that you just crawl up in God? I had one of those just recently. And just right in the midst of where I was at, it wasn't physical, but internally I was like, that's just it. I'm crawling right up into God. I'm just going to walk the rest of the day right in him. Hallelujah. We get to crawl up and stay under his wings. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. Hey, guess what? Morning, noon, and night. Morning, noon, and night. Morning, noon, and night. Come on, we have a fortress. Come on, we have a refuge. Come on, we have a defender. Verse 7, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. No, that's not what we want. We want to tiptoe through the tulips where everything is wonderful. Things are going to fall around you. But it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is your refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you. This is the stance of a warrior. This is the stance of the soldier. No evil shall befall me. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Come on, folks. Either this stuff is true or it's not. No evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me. Now the Lord is speaking here. Because you have set your love upon him, therefore he will deliver you. And he will set you on high because you have known his name. You shall call upon him and he will answer you. He will be with you in trouble and he will deliver you and he will honor you. He will honor your life. He will honor your words. He will honor your faith every time. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. With long life, we get to be satisfied. We get to be satisfied. We are created for the satisfied life. Now, it's not a soulful thing. It's not a weird thing. It's not a out of the will of God thing. It's a spiritual thing that we're created for a satisfied life. And there's all kind of scriptures in the New Testament that shows us how to access and how to live in the satisfied life. Even when things aren't perfect. If I can tell you one thing about your faith life, is to stop putting faith in things being perfect. Because 99% of the time, it's not perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect except the perfect one. Amen. And one day, we will reign in the perfect place. But right now, we're just walking it out by faith with our trust in him. One foot in front of the other. Come on, one obstacle overcome, one after the other. Staying in the satisfied life. I've just determined I'm going to have to be satisfied. You know what? A long time ago, I got a hold of that book that I don't even know this is a Christian book, so I don't really know where I was at with God when I got a hold of this, but that book that's Women Are from Venus and Men Are from Mars. Is that a Christian book? No, I don't want to know. Okay. Well, there's some real truths in that book about how basically men and women are different. And so, you know, when I got a hold of the fact that God created men different from women, and I just decided that I would recognize that they're going to be different, and I would just stop wanting them to not be different and to get us. Can't they just be like us? Can't they just think like us? Can't they just act like, I mean, this would just be a whole lot easier if men could get it right and be like women. Seriously, come on. I know all y'all deep down are thinking the very same thing. But what helped me was when I realized that God didn't create them to be the same. And so I just decided to side with God and get satisfied that it was always going to be a work to figure out men and men figure out women. This is how much of what it is in the kingdom. There's some things that we're going to have the right attitude about. We're just going to have to realize that if you really want to be satisfied, if you really want to be content, you're going to have to realize that this is just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Stop bucking the system. Just get in God's system and you'll find out how to flow. And then all those things that aren't perfect won't bother you and stack up on top of you. And before you know it, you're down and under and frustrated and mad and irritated and blah like that. Because of all these things, they're just things. They're just things. They're just things. They'll go, they'll come, they'll change. This too shall pass. Amen. But we get to be satisfied. Why is this important to remember? So that we stand in the right place and have the right expectation of a life with God. Doesn't mean everything is perfect. Doesn't mean everything is easy. Doesn't mean everything is rosy. And all, but it does mean that you get to stand and be satisfied and come out having still stood with God, complete and whole, spirit, soul, and body. That is what we're promised by the Good Shepherd. Praise the Lord. Why is it that we have no fear? Because God is our companion. Because He's with us. Because He's close to us. He's not far off and far removed. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will be with you. I will help you. I will strengthen you. God is with us, and that's why we don't have to fear. Hallelujah. You got to remember here that shepherds are not weak. I think we look at shepherds probably, and we just think of, you know, just little men out in the field. But I think the good one that you ought to remember is David. There was some serious stuff going on when he was tending to his dad's, tending to the sheep in that. I mean, he was tearing bears apart and ripping lines up with his bare hands. That's how Jesus is about you and your life. That's how He is about you. Hallelujah. In Him, there's a safety. There's a safety we get from being in the flock. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, that we're kept by the power of God. Psalm 121, verse 7 and 8 says that because of Him, we're reserved from evil and He preserves our soul. Come on, He preserves us. He keeps us. In Him, our life is safe. Hallelujah. You do remember what the shepherd will do to protect the life of the sheep. He'll do anything. Jesus will do anything to protect you. Jesus will do anything to keep you. He already did it. He laid down His life. Shed His blood. Holy blood. Sinless blood. The currency of the spiritual world was laid out in your behalf so that you could be kept. Hallelujah. The Bible says here that the shepherd, he has a rod and a staff that comforts us. That rod is the authority. Jesus has all authority and He's given authority to us. We have authority in the earth as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We have to know our authority and use the authority that Christ gives us. Amen. We have a staff. It's a rod. It's the thing that if we will listen to Jesus, He will keep us upon the paths that will keep us out of harm's way and out of the way of the evil one. Also, if you remember the hook on that staff, you remember a shepherd's staff, it has a hook. You know, that hook was used like if the sheep would fall down in a place or he would hook them around the neck and he could pull them out. Come on, Jesus is our help. He's not going to let you go down. He's not going to let you go under. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's good stuff. This is how we get the victory. This is how you remember who you are. Oh, I'm the sheep of the shepherd, my shepherd, the Lord Jesus, the shepherd of my life. That causes us to stand up. It causes us to know that he's with us, that he's for us, never against us, never will let us down. Hallelujah. Let me just say Luke 10:19, because I just want to. I mean, we could put it in here. But you know, sometimes there are scriptures that I think, if we could get this one revelation, I'm talking about a real revelation. You remember Pastor Chaz talked last week? Remember Deuteronomy 29:29 says, if you really want something to belong to you, you're going to have revelation of it for it to really belong to you. And listen, if it really doesn't belong to you, you don't have full use of it. If we could get this one scripture, if we could get revelation of this, I think that probably 50% of everything in our life would change. I'm being conservative. Jesus said, who said it?
Jesus.
Who's Jesus? The shepherd. Your shepherd, right? The one who guards you, keeps you, guides you, leads you, takes care of you, nurtures you, supplies for you, provides for you. Jesus said, behold, I give you power. Who gave you power?
Jesus.
You didn't give yourself power. Jesus gave you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Serpents and scorpions represent the devil, the demons, every evil thing.
Yes.
Jesus said, behold, hey, look at this. Put your attention on this. Focus on this and know this, that I, Jesus, give you authority to tread on, to trample on, to put underfoot.
Amen.
Every scorpion and every serpent and power over all of the enemy so that nothing gets to hurt you. So that nothing gets to hurt you. Nothing gets to hurt you. You know, one time, I love this scripture. This one I've camped on for a long time. And the first revelation or the place I tried to get grace revelation in the beginning was in the sickness area. Because, you know, we know that sickness is of the devil. And, you know, we got to have some authority over that. And when sickness comes, it gets to hurt you. But, you know, the more I studied this, did you know that when you get financially in a spot and in a bind and in a bad place, that hurts your life? Do we agree about that?
Yeah.
But Jesus said he gives you authority over everything that comes to harm you in any way. Because he's the good shepherd. And he provides for your life. He provides for us. Hallelujah. So we get to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We get to fear nothing because we have a staff and a rod that comfort us, that's with us, that gives us a place to walk in the earth. Sometimes I find myself thinking, God, I'm not quite living in the fullness of that. But this is our pattern. This is the reality. Psalm 23 is where we live now, with the Lord as our shepherd. Let's go on to the last two verses. Verses 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, the house of the Lord in the Old Testament really refers to the presence of God in the New Testament. So you could switch those words out there. But look again, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Listen, we all have enemies. We're all going to have enemies. The devil's certainly an enemy. But we're going to have stuff. We're going to have people. We're going to have things contrary to us as long as we're in the earth. But God said that the Lord prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. So with enemies present and all around, God's already set the table. He's already made the provision. He's already made the provision for you to rule over your enemies, for you to come out on top, for you to win. He's already made the provision. He's already set the table in front of you. Amen. That is so powerful. And His provision is complete. He leaves nothing undone. Nothing catches Him off guard. Where you're at today is not a surprise to God. It might be a surprise to you. Doesn't have to be a surprise to you. But it's never a surprise to God, and He's already made a way. He's the way maker. He's already made a way. He's already made a way through. He's already made a way up. Come on, He's already made a way out. He's already made it. He's already done it. I think Nancy Dufresne said this. I'm sure a lot of other people have said it, but I remember her specifically saying it, that before your need ever arises, the provision has already been made. So all you have to know is know that, so that when the need arises, you just take hold of your provision. Hallelujah. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, above all the stuff of the earth. We see with spiritual eyes. We hear with spiritual ears. We know spiritual things. And we have every spiritual blessing. What are spiritual blessings? Have you ever thought about that? If you've been seated in heaven and have all the spiritual blessings, have you meditated on what spiritual blessings are? Do you know what spiritual blessings you should be having and operating in your life? I hope you do, because I don't have time to go through a bunch of them. But there's a bunch of really good spiritual blessings, like strength, like anointing, like power, like wisdom, like knowledge. Yeah. Hallelujah. So our job is to know that the table's there and to pull yourself up and partake of it. And any of you got mamas that cook, that cooked when you were young and cooked good? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I mean, sometimes they'd set the table out. But you know what I found out? That if I didn't take the time to get to the table, that I didn't get to partake of what was there. No matter how much I knew it was there, no matter how much I saw it, no matter how much I could smell it, this is where I find many Christians. Knowing, hearing, seeing, but you got to pull yourself up to the table. How do you do that? You got to meditate. You got to get in the Word of God. You got to pray in tongues. You got to get with the Lord. You got to make these things real in you. You got to know beyond all else that your health has already been provided for you. And I just ain't going to take, that's Texas talk, I just ain't going to take nothing short of me being healthy. Yeah. 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 Hallelujah. He anoints our head with oil. Oil represents the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. It represents a place in God. It represents an anointing, an ability that comes from the Almighty One. It represents His power, His presence with us, His favor upon us, His provision for us, His anointing in our life. In what measure? The running over measure. That means more than enough. That means you have more than enough strength. That means you have more than enough wisdom. Come on, it means you have more than enough ability of God. It means you have more than enough, not just barely, not just trying to get. I've already got it. He's poured on me. He's poured on you the full provision of life and all that's necessary. Wow. Wow. It's abundant. That's the abundant life. I love that Jesus didn't just come to give life, but life more abundantly. It is the excess. It is the overflow. It's the above and beyond measure. That's what we're going for. Come on, let's go for it. Let's go for it. Let's go for it. Let's not be satisfied with just barely enough. Let's not be satisfied with low living. Come on, let's get up to the table. Come on, let's partake of the oil. We may have to have an oil service. Well, I get out the oil and start pouring it like buckets over your head. Hallelujah. But listen to this. Surely, goodness and mercy are going to follow me. Surely, without a doubt. Surely, without a doubt. Surely, goodness follows me, runs up on and overtakes me, lives with me everywhere I go. It's with me when I wake up in the morning. It's with me when I go to bed at night. Surely, goodness and mercy follow me all the days. Come on, not just some days, not just some seasons, all the days. We have access to it every day, forever, every day. He's the good shepherd. He delights in this. Listen, how many of you knew that your mama loved it when you ran up to the table to eat? How many of you knew that your mama was a little perturbed when she had laid out all of the stuff at the table? Come on, and you didn't have time to come to the table and get what was yours. Come on, you know how mama's heart felt? How much more so? The Lord's your good shepherd. He wants you to run up to the table. And you know, with him, he'd be like, there'll be seconds. There'll be thirds. There'll be bigger portions. Just keep coming. Mercy, love, favor, kindness. Woo, the world is in need of some kindness. It's true. The world is really in need of some kindness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I will dwell. I will remain. I will stay forever in the presence of the Lord. Because the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah. He's my good shepherd. He's your good shepherd. Hallelujah. Isn't it good to know? Come on, is it good to be reminded of who He is? As we're, you know, sometimes I feel like we forget that He's already set the table. And it's not difficult. Just get to the table. He's made a full provision for all that is you having the good and the merciful life. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.